Today we'll read from Luke 18, starting with verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written about the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him, and he will be killed. And the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Look over there. Made you look. If you look because you look because I told you to. If I say, "Eyes on me," this grabs your attention, if only for a short time. What grabs our eyes? Is it a juicy headline, maybe? Maybe you see a popular celebrity couple on a cover of a magazine. Maybe a headline that says, "It's over," that might grab your attention. Maybe something big and bright. The Sesame Street character Big Bird standing right over there. I imagine all your eyes would go over there. In this day and age, our attention gets distracted. How many people are prescribed medication for ADD or ADHD? In a recent study, they found that when they surveyed people who had smartphones, these people checked their smartphones 34 times a day. How often do you find yourself drifting off somewhere? With all the distractions we have, it can be hard to focus on just one thing, just to hold one thought. But we know it, and our attention shifts off what we should be focusing on and onto something else. What should we be focusing on? Well, when we come to chapel, we should be focusing on the speaker. We do this not because the speaker is old and wise, certainly not the case today. We focus on the speaker and his message, because he's giving you the message of the gospel of Christ. When you're in chapel or in church, the speaker is talking to you in the place of Jesus. Don't pay attention to me, pay attention to Jesus. When I said, "Eyes on me," you probably looked at me. The message here today is, pay attention to Jesus, eyes on Jesus. We as humans get distracted. Certainly, we have more distractions today than the disciples did. Doesn't mean they didn't get distracted, though. Jesus told them, "Behold." We would say, "Pay attention," or "Look." He wanted them to focus on what was about to happen. It was important to understand that Jesus was going to die, fulfill everything that was prophesied about him, he'd rise again from the dead. This was an important message, and he wanted them to recognize it. It wasn't the first time he told them this. Actually, it was the third time. The first time he told them about this, he said, "I'm going to suffer and die." And Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord." Then he got the "get behind me, Satan" treatment. The second time he predicted his death, the disciples thought he was talking about John the Baptist. Jesus had to spell out the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. After this, they got sad. Maybe they just blocked it out of their heads. But they moved on. This prediction was different. For one thing, it was soon. It wasn't some random date in the future. It was soon and very soon. "You're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die." For another thing, it was a graphic depiction. The other times he laid out the basics for them, namely, suffering, death, resurrection. But this time, not only do you have the foretelling about death and life after death, you have the elements of delivered to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked, insulted, spit upon. They're going to beat him up physically. He had talked about suffering, but nothing like this. What's common about these predictions is that the disciples couldn't grasp them. They were over their heads. For whatever reason, they couldn't see the picture Jesus was painting, picture of his self-portrait of redemption. This world is also blind to the message of Jesus. The true message of who he is and what his purpose was is lost on them. It doesn't make sense to them. And instead of keeping their eyes on Jesus, they look elsewhere. They see what they want to see. They twist and distort the Bible. They like the part of the Bible where it's talking about love, but when the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination, they turn away. They like the part about Jesus loves the little children, but when the Bible talks about how all life is precious and how God knew us in our mother's wombs, they scroll past it, claiming it's the mother's choice. They like the Bible, and they tell us how good of a person Jesus was, but when the Bible tells us that Jesus was the only true way to heaven, they instead choose to see a different message. The message that there are many ways to heaven, and Jesus was just a good man, and it could be one of many ways to get to an afterlife. Well, what about us? It's easy to condemn abortionists, evolutionists, and homosexuals with their open sins, but we have our own pet sins. Are your eyes on Jesus? If you've been going to chapel this year, you know how distracted we can get. How many times this year has someone not been listening in chapel? When the chapel speaker sees this, he gets distracted from his word, and to get the attention back, he'll often pause so all the eyes come back to his message. When you talk in chapel, you aren't focusing on the message of Christ. We have seen this many times, but how many times have you just wandered off in the sermon? Maybe you didn't disturb a preacher or someone listening next to you, but you didn't follow the sermon in your head. When you do this, you're not focusing on the message. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Even when we are paying attention, are we truly having our eyes fixed on Jesus? Hindsight is 20/20. It'd be easiest for, say, silly disciples. They should have known that Jesus would do this for the benefit of them, for the benefit of the whole world. They should have rejoiced that he said he was going to suffer and die. But we often don't understand the words of Jesus today as well. Maybe we comprehend the words, that doesn't mean that we do what he tells us to do. The Bible, in fact, tells us we don't. Romans 7, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." When we, Jesus' disciples today, don't do what we're supposed to do, we commit sins. We are just as distracted. When Jesus told his disciples, "Behold, we're going to Jerusalem," this applies to us as well. For soon we too will go to Jerusalem with the season of Lent. It's the season where we'll see the true purpose of Christ. We too will see him brutally suffer and die on the cross for all of our sins. As his disciples, it is our privilege to witness this and to rejoice in his sacrifice for our sins. When you read on in Luke, Jesus comes across a blind man and heals him. The blind man knew he needed to be saved. He knew that Jesus was the only answer for his sin. He also made a loud sound and cried out for Jesus. The crowd told him to settle down, but the blind man knew he had to raise his voice for Jesus to hear him. The world doesn't want to hear our noise about Jesus. When we proclaim this message, they don't want to hear it. They tell us to shut up. But we can see the truth like the blind man saw the truth. Jesus is the only answer, and we desperately need his help in this sinful world. This blind man, who Jesus was about to heal, is healed by faith. It is also by faith that we are able to see Jesus today. The Holy Spirit has come to us and worked inside us all the faith that saves us. It is the faith that relies on Jesus' holy work of living a perfect life and dying on the cross for your sins. Because of this faith, we keep the law perfectly, because Jesus kept it perfectly. Because of this, God the Father finds us 100% innocent. With this faith, we are able to praise God with our fruits of faith. With this faith, we shall inherit eternal life in heaven as sons and heirs of God. By this faith, we can declare along with Job, "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." It's easy to get distracted in our modern world. With all the different distractions we have, it can be easy to lose focus. These distractions take us this way and that. But focus on God's Word. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look, we are going up to Jerusalem. Eyes on Jesus. Amen. Conclude today with hymn 532.
Of some type. We're going to meet this afternoon. Look for posters and we'll try to shoot everybody an email with the decision that they come up with. So keep an eye open for that. Activities Committee, we should meet at 12:50 today. 12:50. If you're in tour choir, obviously you can't listen.
Sorry, you're staying.